It is a privilege to be here with you this morning. I was wondering if we was going to hear the PBC choir again today. Oh, see, I have the privilege of getting to know this church and having a good relationship with this church. And so a lot of y'all probably thought PBC stood for Providence Baptist Church, but it stood for Pretty Bold Christians. That's what it stood for. I think Daryl came up with the name. Was that right? He liked being called pretty? No, I'm just kidding. It is always a privilege to be around God's people, to be around those that love the Lord and want to serve Him, and how encouraging that is. And so it is. Conferences like this are important. They're encouraging and strengthening. And so I want to encourage you to continue on in the work that the Lord has called you to do, and to continue on hosting conferences like this. I know us preachers get up here and get to preach, and we get a blessing from that, from studying God's Word and preaching God's Word, but we also get a blessing from seeing God's people desiring to know God's Word and to worship the Lord. And so it is very encouraging. I receive encouragement for it, and I thank you for that. As going to a Bible conference and preaching at a Bible conference, there's always this fear as a preacher that the brother in front of you is going to preach your sermon, preach on the same. And I was worried because some of these brethren get up and they said, turn in the Bible. And I said, oh, that's the same book I'm going to use. But isn't it amazing? God's Word is, you can't exhaust it. And all these men can get up there, and we hope that all the preachers that get up here preach from God's Word. And that's what they preach from. And we don't use it up and run out of God's Word. It has an application to all of us. And brother, I thank you for your message and how important a relationship is with our Lord. I just recently heard a wonderful example that I'll share with you on about a relationship. They were asking a man, they said, isn't there a small chance that God doesn't exist? And he's like, no, God exists. He said, couldn't you just be a little bit, just a small chance that you're wrong, that God doesn't exist? And he said, if I told you, does your wife exist? You say, yeah. And I say, well, isn't there a small chance that your wife doesn't exist? Just a small little chance. And you say, no. I mean, why? Because I've got a relationship with her. I know her. And that's the same for us. We have a relationship with God. We know He exists. And there's not a small chance we're wrong. Not a small chance. If you would, go ahead and turn with me to Genesis chapter 24. I want to deal with this morning, the message that the Lord's laid on my heart is Abraham's obedience. Abraham's obedience. I heard some criticism on the Pope the other day, and it made me think just a little bit. But anyway, there's a lot of hype about the Pope and his visit here to the United States and all the things that he's doing. But I thought it was very telling that he said that he got up in front of Congress and addressed Congress, and I didn't listen to it, but it was said that all the whole speech that he gave to Congress, he never mentioned Jesus Christ once. Not once. But it made me think, have I ever got up and preached a whole sermon without mentioning Jesus Christ? Brethren, I pray that he is the center of what we do, and that he would get all the glory and honor this morning. Our Lord is very important. And so as we look at Abraham's obedience, we'll deal a lot with Abraham this morning. But I hope to still even point you to your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and uplift our Lord this morning. We'll read Genesis chapter 24. It says, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said, chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. We get to that chapter eventually if I had enough time, but I don't think we have enough time this morning. Genesis chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee to the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of the heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad. Neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by the thorns, by his thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abram called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Fathers, we humbly come before you, Lord. We ask that you would be uplifted this morning. That you would reveal your word, your truth to us, Lord, that we would be able to follow it. That we would be able to be obedient as Abraham was obedient. Father, we know the truth that is revealed to us here, the truth that is kept and preserved for us, Lord, you have preserved it for us. And it has a purpose and a reason. And we thank you for that. Father, I pray not only for my sermon, but the sermon of all those that will be speaking today, for all the hearts that are here, and also for those that are here that do not know you, Lord, as their Lord and Savior. I pray if it be your will, Lord, that today would be the day that you'd open their eyes to see their need and grant unto them repentance and faith to believe and trust in Jesus Christ. And all that is said and done today, Lord, may it be for your glory and for your honor. We thank you for your love and your mercy, and we pray for forgiveness of our sins. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Abraham's obedience. We see a generation rising up. Maybe it's already here. A generation that has no respect. We see it all around us. It's consumed with pleasure and selfishness. I don't know how many times I've seen grandparents having to raise the children's parents or the children's children, because the children were too selfish, consumed with themselves, involved in things and drugs and stuff like that, that they couldn't raise their own children. And I question, I wonder, what's going to happen when those children are grandparents? Who's going to raise the kids then? It's fearful, the state that we see going on around us. being part of the ministry to reaching children. I see it more and more, the brokenness of the homes and the effect that it has on children. You realize that your relationship with your Heavenly Father, with your earthly father, will affect your relationship with your Heavenly Father? Your upraising as a child and how you learned obedience will affect how you can be obedient when you're an adult. When we are told to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that has an effect on their life. And we sadly see a generation that is without obedience. And even the word obedience, to them, it means degrading or beneath them. But the word obedience to us should imply a relationship and imply to us a purpose, and there should be no shame in obedience. And so as we get into talking about Abraham's obedience, in verse 1, we notice that it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I." Tempt, prove, test. So we want to ask this question, and these are the things we'll deal with in our sermon, is how could Abraham come to the place in his life that he could be tested in such a manner and show obedience? Brethren, let's put ourselves in the place that Abraham is at right now. And as the Lord blesses me with things in my life, like becoming a father, I thought about having one of my boys come up here, but using him as an illustration. But the last time I did that, I put him down and he took off running, crying, all the way back to his mom. I love my children. I love them. And they bring me so much joy. I mean, getting to see them grow and learn and play. And I get frustrated with them sometimes, but I love my children. Do you think Abraham loved his son? I think he did. I think his son was such a joy to him. It was what he was waiting on, and it was the son of his old age. It was someone that was so dear to him. But how did he get to a place where he could act with such obedience to God that he would be willing to endanger and give up the one that he loved so dear to him? And I want to know that. And as we look at Abraham and we look at his life, and we can learn from this, we can ask this question, how did he do it? One of the things I wanted to point out, and we'll look at it in more detail, but Abraham trusted God. He trusted his Lord. That's vital to our obedience. That trust that we have in Him is so important to whether we can fully be obedient to God. Because when that trust is broken, and dealing with children from troubled homes, you know why they have a hard time being obedient? Because they have a hard time trusting. They have been betrayed, abandoned, hurt, and all that comes into the way in which they trust. And if you do not trust, you cannot be obedient. So, one of the ways in which Abraham was able to trust God, and Brother Grigsby pointed out about the knowledge of God, he knew who he was. He knew who he was. And that made it possible for him to trust him, because he knew the God that he was trusting in. In Psalms 9, verse 10, Psalm chapter 9, verse 10. It says, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." They that know thy name implies who he is and all about him, having known him. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, this passage is often used as it so clearly points out the inspiration of the Scriptures. But I want to look at it from the standpoint of realizing how important our doctrinal teaching is in the church. It bothers me with the thoughts of it being so common today that people saying, "Well, I don't like doctrine." Or churches saying, "Oh, we don't preach doctrine in our churches." People say that at their church and they say it with pride. Doctrine is teaching. That's what it means. Doctrine is teaching. And so this passage, all Scripture, verse 16 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. These doctrines that we teach, that we preach, that we stand on, it helps us to know the God that we serve. It helps us to understand who He is, how He relates to us, His promises, His commandments. And the more we study that, the more we know doctrine, the more important that is to us, the more we can know of our God. And if you know who you serve, it will enable you to trust who you serve. Trust Him. Has God ever forsaken anybody that you've ever studied in the Scriptures that trusted in the Lord? He's never forsaken them. Those that put their trust in Him, He doesn't forsake them. And we learn that through studying God's Word. You learn it through reading God's Word. And so doctrine is important because it helps us to know who God is. And when we know who it is that we serve, we know His name. We put our trust in Him. Secondly, in regards to Abraham's trust in God, he had a relationship built on love. A relationship built on love. Sometimes you can have a father that he'll have his children all in line. They'll be able to walk a straight line in church and sit down in a pew and not make a sound. And then when they get of age, you know what they do? They all leave and have nothing to do with the church afterwards. Why? Why does that happen? He had control, but he didn't have their hearts. And that's a problem. When we serve God, we serve Him with respect, but it is a relationship of love. And in that love, he holds our hearts. John chapter 17. And I pray as you think about obedience to God, and we bring our mind back to what Abraham was asked to do. And if you could put yourself in that situation, this obedience that you would have to sit there and trust God, trust Him. But it must be motivated out of love. It wasn't that Abraham was to the point when he was following God in this point that he was saying, "You know what? This is best for me. I'm going to do this because it's the best thing for me." he was doing it because he was obeying God with love. With love. John 17:26 says, I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. The love that you've loved me may be in them. That relationship that you see that is so precious between Christ, the Son of God, and the Father God. That he said, it is my meat to do the will of the Father. It was a love relationship that he showed over and over. And it is in us that it is to be shown that Christ's love is in us. That we love the Father. That we love pleasing Him. We love serving Him. So John 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. If he loved me, he will keep my words. There's that love relationship. That love relationship connected with obedience. You cannot separate the two. A person cannot stand up and say, oh, I love God, and not be obedient unto God. He cannot be one that says that he is a servant of God and not be a servant of God. If you understand what I'm saying. And it's a love relationship. It's built out of love. If he loved me, he will keep my words. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. You know, as I think about Abraham's relationship with Isaac, there, you know, we often picture Isaac as a little child. Naturally, that's in my mind. That's I picture that. But then you have to realize he was old enough that he realized where's the lamb, Dad? He was asking questions. He was not a little infant. He was a young lad. And Abraham was 100 years old, I think, at the time. I can't remember, over 100 years old. And I don't think Abraham could have outran Isaac. You ever think about that? I don't think he could have. 100-year-old guy outran this young lad. You've seen him at the stores. You've seen the moms chasing their kids, and their kids can get away. What kind of relationship did Abraham and Isaac have? That respect. That the boy let his father do that. And I don't think it was in ignorance. But I don't think in all that he went through that he probably did not doubt that his father loved him. See, that's critical to our obedience. Is knowing that God loves us. Knowing it to the point that we will endanger our lives when we cannot figure out what's going on. When we cannot understand the end result of what is happening right now. But it doesn't matter because I am sure and steadfast in that God loves me. Now, I can't understand what's happening in my life. I can't understand this trial I'm going through. I can't understand the emotions I am feeling. But it doesn't matter because I am built and steadfast on the love of God. I know He loves me. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16, It says, now our Lord Jesus Christ and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. He's loved us. If you doubt the love of God, then you're going to struggle with obedience. But when we realize the love of God, and we realize and know and are sure and steadfast that He loves us, then it fills us with a willingness to obey when the circumstances are ununderstood. Next, what we notice of Abraham and what led to his life that made it to the point where he was able to be proved, tested in such a manner, was that he made following God a part of his life. A part of his life that was consistent. Abraham was called to leave his father and his mother, his family. Now, if you could put yourself in that situation, he didn't have a telephone to pick up and call back home whenever he got lonely. He didn't have Facebook to keep up with all the pictures of the kids and the everything that was going on with his family. It was back in the day when he picked up and he left. And I don't know if he ever saw his family again. He sent his servant back. But he never went back, it's recorded. So, he made it a part of his life. And I'm sure over and over it was a constant reminder to him that he was where he was at because he was following God. He was being obedient to God. It was God who he was following. It was God who had promised him. Imagine how Abraham felt when he changed his name to Abraham, which means son of a multitude. How do you introduce yourself? What's your name? Abraham. Oh, and people knew. The names meant something back then. People knew what they were saying when they said, Abraham, son of multitude. How many kids do you have?
None right now, but how old are you? Why
would you change your name?
Well, I believe God.
I believe God. I wonder if he thought that every time he had to say his name. But he made following God a part of his life, a conscious part of our everyday activities and who we are and how we live our lives. I fear that we fail sometimes to raise our children with an understanding that they need to be considering God first and foremost in how they live their life. And what I mean by that is we often like to ask young people, well, what are you going to do when you grow up? Why don't we just change that? How are you going to follow God when you grow up? Just make it that everyday part of their life. And make it something so consistent that it becomes so natural to us. That to be outside of the will of God, to be thinking of not being in the will of God, seems foreign. And a place of uncomfort. So Joshua chapter 1 verse 18, or verse 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Meditate day and night. Day and night. Not just on Sunday. Day and night. In order for us to get to a place in our life where we can become obedient as Abraham was obedient, there must be a continual act of obedience in our lives. If you cannot be obedient to God in the small matters of your life, how will you be obedient to God when it comes to something like this? And don't look at it with despair, but look at it with, all right, I'm going to start preparing my life. I'm going to start preparing myself in obedience to God for maybe something He has for me in the future. A trial, a testing, that I can show my great love for the one that loves me and how much He means to me. And to do that, you must make it an everyday part of your life. Luke chapter 6, verses 45 to 49. Let's just read verse 46. We'll be there to the end. It says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundations on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it. For it was founded upon a rock." That will be you if you live your life in obedience now. When the storm comes, you will still be obedient because it's natural. It's natural. I'm almost out of time, and so I'll just mention this. We won't get in detail. His obedience was quick. It was quick. He got up early in the morning. He quickly obeyed. Obedience deferred is disobedience in action. Okay? You feel the Lord leading you to do something? Do it. Do it. If I tell my kids, go take out the trash. All right. I come back an hour later, the trash is still there. I said, why didn't you take out the trash? I'm going to. You're being disobedient. It was quick. It was quick. So be quick to follow the Lord. Have a willing heart to do that. But lastly, I want to point out that his obedience was with hope. His obedience was with hope. Back in our text, in Genesis chapter 22, verse 15, it says, "The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." And that's a prophecy of our Lord Jesus Christ. All the nations of the earth will be blessed. And it says, because you have obeyed my voice. It is an obedience in hope. It is an obedience knowing that our Father loves us and He has a purpose in all that He does in our life. And in whatever aspect we are being obedient in, we realize it's for a purpose and a reason. And that's obedience with hope. It's not an obedience that this has no reason. This has no, it's just pointless. But it's obedience with hope. And a hope that here points us to the Lord Jesus Christ and how every nation was blessed by Jesus Christ. What a hope. What a hope. Let our obedience be that of the obedience of Abraham, and we didn't even get to touch on the obedience of Jesus Christ. Oh, we are called to be obedient people. And let that obedience inspire us, encourage us, and fill us with a way to live our lives.